Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Tuesday. It's a feast of St. Francis Xavier. It's also Giving Tuesday. And if you are thinking about giving, we would certainly enjoy hearing from you and why you like EWTN and the local Catholic radio affiliates. Maybe think about giving to us. We'd greatly appreciate it. And this program, of course, as you just heard, is co-sponsored by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And think about, again, giving to the EWTN broadcast family that airs 24/7 Catholic programming, not only across the United States of America, but every single place around the world. We are everywhere, the largest religious broadcast organization on God's green earth, and we exist to evangelize. Nobody's getting rich at EWTN. That is something that we do in honor of our Lord, our Catholic faith, and of course our foundress, the amazing Mother Angelica. So think about it, pray about it. We appreciate it on this Giving Tuesday and always. We also appreciate our great guests, including Father Tapaholchek, will be joining us at 15 minutes past the hour. He's a senior ethicist, at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. I'm going to talk about this very alarming and disturbing story out of the UK regarding the push for legalizing assisted suicide, where that stands and what that means and what kind of a fallout that could have around the globe. Father Ted's amazing. He joins us after the break at about 15 minutes past the hour. And then I'm so excited. Guess who's with us at, I'm excited about all the guests, including Father Tab, but Matt Maher and Sarah Kroger are joining us live at 39 minutes past the hour. Isn't that cool? I'm so excited. Really fan, big fan of both of them. They're amazing Catholic vocalists, and they're going to be joining us on the Good News Cruise 2026, which, by the way, is three quarters of the way sold out. You can go to goodnewscruise.com, and the other big star, big, really big, you're not going to believe this. Seriously, this is totally serious. Andrea Bocelli is going to be joining us for two concerts on the ship. So here's how that's going to work. The ship will be pulling into various ports, and then Bocelli is coming in and staying at one of the islands and coming on board, and we're doing two concerts because we are going to be filling a whole ship, God willing, this time, and there isn't a room or an auditorium large enough on the ship to hold every single passenger at once. So the maestro will be doing two concerts. So everyone on the ship who's registered will have a chance to hear the amazing voice of Andrea Bocelli. But Matt Maher and Sarah Kroger will be with us. Sarah was with us last year. Fabulous. She did the music for the masses. Amazing. But I just think very highly of both of these wonderful musicians who devote their time and their talent to the Lord and the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And you get to meet them and see them. MattMaherMusic.com and then SarahKroger.com. We will discuss the Good News Cruise 2026. In addition to Matt and Sarah, if you look at the lineup, it's like a who's who of EWTN. Seriously, it's crazy cool. And we'll give you all the details. And what's nice about the 2026 cruise is that we will have increased marriage content, but a lot of general Catholic content. So anyone above 21 is welcome to come for a nice shot in the arm for their faith. So this is not only limited to married couples this time around. By popular demand, folks are asking, what about a general lineup of speakers that can address different issues outside of marriage. So ask and you shall receive. We're very excited about the 2026 cruise, and you can check it out at goodnewscruise.com. And we'll be chatting with Matt and Sarah at the bottom of the hour at 9:39 Eastern time. So that is the big show for today on this feast of St. Francis Xavier. Weather-wise, we are looking at some chilly weather, an Arctic chill in the east, followed by a strong clipper storm. Arctic air will continue below normal temps across the eastern half of the country into today, the rest of today, and we'll also see some heavy lake effect snow taking a short reprieve across the Great Lakes, and then that strengthening clipper storm tracking north of the Great Lakes by tomorrow, with widespread snow and gusty to strong winds through the region and into the northeast, followed by the potential for more lake effect snow. So that's the forecast. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, Giving Tuesday. We appreciate you, and we hope you appreciate us and consider giving to EWTN and possibly one of our affiliates. This program brought to you by our friends at houseofjoppa.com. Let's check the news on a busy Tuesday morning, December 3rd. President-elect Trump says he is headed to Paris this weekend. In a post last night on Truth Social, he said he will travel Saturday to attend the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral, which has been fully restored after a devastating fire 5 years ago. He added that the French president has done a great job of ensuring Notre Dame will be restored to its full level of glory. It will be his first overseas trip since he was elected to a second term in office last month. And as a cathedral in Paris prepares to reopen on December 7th, Catholic News Agency tells us bishops are calling on local American churches to show their solidarity as well with the church's eldest daughter. Restoration to the structure began with a two-year cleaning process, followed by a $760 million reconstruction project. In a social media post, the USCCB, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, writing that as the cathedral reopens its doors, local churches in the U.S. are invited to ring their bells in a gesture of unity for churches across the country and around the world in honor of Notre Dame. In other news this morning, Mark Mayfield tells us the president-elect is warning Hamas to release the October 7th hostages.
In a new post, Trump warns that there will be all hell to pay if they are not immediately released before he assumes office on January the 20th, 2025. He adds that those responsible will be hit harder than anybody has been hit in the history of the United States. The White House says it's working hard to secure a ceasefire deal in Gaza in hopes of stopping the fighting between Israel and Hamas.
Meanwhile, at the beginning of Advent, Lisa Zegarini with Vatican News tells us the custodian of the Holy Lamb brings a message of hope to the people of Bethlehem in the West Bank amid ongoing hardship and war.
It was a poignant moment for the people of Bethlehem, who are facing their second Christmas amid ongoing war and economic hardships. Tourism, a vital source of livelihood, has vanished since the outbreak of the war on the 7th of October, leaving the Basilica of the Nativity empty, local businesses closed, and residents who are unable to cross the separation wall to work in Jerusalem with no income to survive on. The atmosphere in Bethlehem is grim, though new recent efforts to revive the deadlocked negotiations for Gaza ceasefire and the release of Israeli hostages leave a glimmer of hope that this could be the last Advent in wartime. Father Paton emphasized this hope on Saturday, urging the faithful in Bethlehem not to give in to despair, echoing Pope Francis' call to make the upcoming Jubilee year a celebration of hope. He encouraged them to remain steadfast in hope during this Christmas season, despite hardships. In the face of evil and this horrific war, we have no choice but to hold our gaze high, he said. Father Paton reiterated this call as he addressed nearly 1,000 faithful attending the Advent Mass on Sunday. During the liturgy, the Kustos shared the testimony of Suhaila Abu Dawood, one of the hundreds of displaced Palestinians sheltering in the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza. The young man wrote a column for the Osservatore Romano in which he describes how, under the most terrible bombings, he felt safe because he was in a church praying with other Christians. This attitude of vigilant and grateful prayer, Father Patton concluded, is important for keeping hope alive. We must lift our gaze to Jesus, who is coming, and not despair when evil strikes, he said. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Governor Kathy Hochul in New York ordering flags to fly at half staff on state buildings on the day of funeral services for Long Island native Omer Neutra. She says she spoke with Israeli officials when she traveled to Israel and demanded that the Plainview resident be brought home.
I met his family over there. I met his parents when I came to the States. I saw them countless times. So as a parent, I just cannot imagine what they're going through today. It's a young man with a full future ahead of him, cut tragically short over 1 year ago.
She urges all New Yorkers and Americans to honor his life, regardless of their political views, noting he's one of our own. Israel's military confirming yesterday the 21-year-old was killed during the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel last year. Up until now, it was believed Neutra was being held hostage in a case that was making national headlines over the past year. The Neutra family is expected to announce funeral plans in the coming days. Bible sales are way up, and experts say there's an easy explanation.
Society is sort of shifting and people don't have their sort of bearings, and so trying to find ways in which to ground themselves.
That's Jason King, who heads the Center for Catholic Studies at St. Mary's University. He also says at least some of this also is being driven by a recent popularity in Christian influencers.
I probably watch too much TikTok, and y'all see those clips though pop up too, like little quotes or people sort of telling Jesus stories.
The book sale tracker Circana BookScan says that Bible sales have increased by 22% compared to last year. It's a day in Long Island court for one of the men charged alongside former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Michael Jeffries in a federal sex trafficking case. Prosecutors say Jeffries and his romantic partner Matthew Smith forcing young men to take part in sex parties all over the world with the promise of giving them modeling jobs. This happened between allegedly 2008 and 2015. Jeffries and another alleged associate, James Jacobson, have both pleaded not guilty in the case. Michael Castor tells us a Houston company that underwent a spectacularly scandalous collapse is apparently not attempting a comeback.
I am Enron.
We are Enron.
Enron declared bankruptcy 23 years ago Monday, putting more than 25,000 people out of work. Yesterday, its new owners launched a media blitz with some eagle-eyed observers almost immediately raising their eyebrows. It included a full-page ad in the Houston Chronicle, billboards, a promotional video, and a website offering merch and career opportunities. Word is now the whole thing is just an elaborate prank of sorts.
More snow is coming to the Great Lakes region after more than 5 feet falling in some places over the holiday weekend. Another foot is possible throughout the day today. As we mentioned in the weather, lake effect snow warnings are still in effect for parts of northeastern Ohio, northwestern Pennsylvania, and southwestern New York. And a campaign to raise $80 million to fund improvements at the Rose Bowl debuting with a new video tribute to the century-old stadium and includes remarks by UCLA's all-time winningest head football coach, the late Terry Donahue.
The Rose Bowl, even as strong as its history and lore is, it'll eventually fade away if we don't keep up the physical presence of the stadium and the surrounding area.
The Rose Bowl Legacy Foundation says it wants to finish 8 major projects in the coming years, some of which are already funded. And criminals are taking advantage of the holiday season to trick shoppers and donors, so it's very important, especially on days like this Giving Tuesday, to stay alert. Kathy Stokes from the FBI office in San Francisco says transnational criminal enterprises are behind the damaging scams and exploit the generous spirit and high online shopping activity, and they have a big-time playbook as well.
The playbook works on everybody, and it's all about raising the emotion of the person, because when we're in a heightened emotional state, we tend to sort of bypass logical thinking. It's just how our brain works.
They use various scams, including fake online stores, phony charity requests, misleading cryptocurrency investments, and gift card tricks to deceive people. Experts are offering safety tips for holiday decorations. Carol Parsons, an emergency medicine physician for the Cleveland Clinic, talks about one of the most common causes of injury this time of year.
We see falls related to holiday decorating every year in the emergency department. Ladder safety is probably the biggest one that I can stress. When you climb ladders, make sure that it is firmly planted on the ground, and ideally have somebody with you to make sure that that ladder is secure.
Dr. Parsons also says to keep a lookout for any lights with broken bulbs or frayed wiring. They should be tossed because they are a fire hazard. Additionally, keep live trees away from fireplaces and other fire sources. The Consumer Safety Product Commission states last year nearly 15,000 people were treated in emergency departments due to holiday decorating-related injuries. And as we mentioned, today is Giving Tuesday. Nonprofits are looking for support today. The occasion happens on the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving each year, this following Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday. The effort has been growing in popularity in recent years with more than $3 billion in donations made on Giving Tuesday last year. And for those who are looking for a local organization to support, greatnonprofits.org has reviews for charities that are searchable by state. And again, don't forget your local Catholic radio station. Keep us in mind, as well as, of course, EWTN. We work hand in hand to bring you 24/7 Catholic programming, and we appreciate your support. We also appreciate the great work of wonderful pro-life leaders, such as our next guest, Father Tad Boholjek from the National Catholic Bioethics Center. He's up next on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned. Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby?
We heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We hope you'll consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives to those in need. Visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or like us on Facebook.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
All life is sacred, from womb to tomb. I know you know that. That's one of the reasons you most likely listen to us, because we're your pro-life radio and TV network and your online resource for all things life. And we give you great resources, such as the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Our guest is Father Tad. You know him well from his talks, his great website. We'll give you his website as well. Father Tad Pacholczyk is a senior ethicist at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. A very long resume. But in order to get to the topic, I'll put his resume aside. Just say he is an expert on all things life, and he's a great person to go to if you have any questions about what's going on in the world, including, Father, this very alarming story out of the UK where lawmakers are voting in favor of a bill legalizing assisted suicide. Just let me give folks an update on this story where we stand right now. England and Wales edge closer to legalizing assisted dying after lawmakers approved a contentious bill in the House of Commons on Friday to allow terminally ill adults to end their lives. Lawmakers voting 330 to 275 in Britain's lower house for what they call the Assisted Dying Bill, which will now be sent to further scrutiny in Parliament before it faces a final vote by lawmakers. The proposed bill would allow people over 18 with less than 6 months to live to request and be provided with help to end their lives, subject to safeguards and protections. Father, we've seen so much of this, even around the United States, and being from Michigan, we dealt, of course, for many years with Jack Kevorkian, and I covered him as a secular journalist, and it was chilling. But this whole idea of, oh, it's going to be safe, there's going to be protections, we're going to make sure it's only terminally ill, not that that would matter or we would ever agree with that, but it never, ever seems to happen. And this is such a slippery slope. What was your reaction when you heard the news over the weekend? Thanks for joining us.
Yes, great to join you. My reaction was very much along the lines of what you just said. That, I mean, the truth of the matter is, Teresa, that whenever a state or a country has legalized assisted suicide, they always talk about these safeguards. But the fact is that later they always modify and liberalize the law further. So, I mean, this is true in our country, Oregon, California, Vermont, Washington State, Hawaii, they've all expanded their assisted suicide laws. It's just incredible. And, you know, the other thing is that you will have sometimes these laws written, again, supposedly with protection, so that it'll say something like, well, if you live in New Jersey, you can access the law, but if you're outside of New Jersey, you're not allowed to, you know, if you're not a resident of New Jersey, you can't get physician-assisted suicide here. But that's being challenged as well. So, you know, then it becomes the kind of suicide tourism thing that evolves as well. So liberalization of these things is always what happens in reality. And I mean, just think about the logic of it. If we're saying this is something that's good to do, that there are sometimes circumstances under which we should let people engage in suicide, then it becomes, well, a kind of free-for-all. It's like, well, who are you to say that the conditions aren't right? You know, if I'm the one who wants to do it, I should be able to.
If you want to jump from a bridge because you're having a bad day, who are you to say I shouldn't do it? I mean, I'm serious. Where do you draw the line?
Exactly. And why do you draw the line only around the medical profession? I've often used an example that people find, you know, slightly, well, morbid, but also humorous, in the sense that I say, docs, this is a good thing. Docs shouldn't be the only people who get into play on this field. We should say, if you're having a lot of suffering or you don't want to live anymore, you should be able to dial 911, and they'd send an officer over, and he'd bring a loaded revolver and put it bedside and give you instructions on how to use it. You know, and you just see the absurdity of an example like that, where, you know, our police are supposed to be protecting life, and suddenly you're corrupting the very essence of their work, and similarly for the medical profession. So, you know, the other piece of this in Great Britain, as they're looking at legalizing this, I think that it's so important for the medical profession to just rise up here and say, this is not compatible with who we are at all. And, you know, historically, people forget how this corruption of the medical profession has become a really serious issue. I have to remind people sometimes that, you know, the Nuremberg trials, they charged 23 leading German physicians with, you know, crimes against humanity. 23 physicians. And the other thing is, the other statistic that was interesting in Germany was that more than half of the German physicians were members of the Nazi Party, members. So, you know, this is something all of us should be watching closely, and if we know physicians or have doctors in our families, we need to be talking about this, not just sort of pushing it to the side or saying in the name of compassion we ought to be able to do this. There's the integrity of the whole profession that is at stake.
Yeah. An interesting story I saw a couple of weeks ago, and this is a woman, I think it was on Catholic News Agency, if not mistaken, Father. This is a woman who went in for a mastectomy because she was obviously diagnosed with breast cancer, and so she's getting prepped for the surgery and everything. The doctor comes in and tells her about assisted suicide. Well, here's another option. You can kill yourself.
Excuse me.
Yeah, okay, so... So in other words, that you talk about the medical profession, there is this pressure then among the medical professionals, because if anyone has something that could be, you know, life-threatening possibly, and who knows how far along the breast cancer was, and millions of women every day, thanks be to God, are able to get treatment and be in remission, you know, forever practically. Or I have a sister who's cured of breast cancer, and she's been fine for the past 10 years. So how do you say... Okay, well, here's another option. So I'm thinking, and this is the reporter in me, because I was always taught to follow the money, how much of this is driven financially in addition to the agenda here, do you think?
I think that is a significant factor. You know, look at what's happening more broadly in society. We have, right, declining fertility rates. So what does that mean? That means you've got a bunch of young people who are going to have to work extra hard to support an aging population, and a population that has, you know, a number of infirmities and problems. So as that sort of expands, then the logic becomes, well, look, we can't have this sort of top-heavy system with elderly and infirm. We need to have another mechanism to expedite people's exit from the scene. I think this is a very real factor. You know, you mentioned the case... of the breast cancer patient. It reminds me of another case I heard of in Oregon where a woman wanted to get a new cancer drug that was pretty expensive. I think it was $1,500 for a prescription because it was new in those days. The price has since come down. And the Oregon entity that watched over assisted suicide wrote her a letter and said, we can't pay for this. It's too expensive, but if you're interested in assisted suicide, that can be made available. And, of course, the assisted suicide pills tend to be less than $100. So the economics are part of this, no doubt.
Yeah, it's just so frightening to me because people have to stop and think, as you said, about, okay, where does this go? And actually, I think it would be, if you think that this is supposed to be a good thing, and we never would because, as we mentioned, we are pro-life, But it's discriminatory to say it's only for people who are terminally ill and are going to have a lot of pain or can't be treated, you know, with good care, which I don't believe that can ever happen, because we know that there's plenty of good care out there, especially wonderful people who do this for a living. But, you know, it's like, okay, well, what about a mental health case? What about if somebody is really, really struggling, bless their heart, and this is a very big issue? Depression is very serious, and this is a medical condition, depression. Or what about other people who have other challenges, right, psychologically and physically? So that's discriminatory to say, well, you can only have this with someone who is terminally ill. So it's going to keep going and keep being pushed, don't you think, Father?
I do. That's very much the likely outcome here, as we've seen historically. I think.
Let's pick it up on the other side of the break. I asked the question too late. I was so interested in what you had to say. Sorry about that. We will be right back. More from Father Tad on the latest push, this time from the UK, for more pro-death measures. Scary stuff. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Some great people have shown respect for God. Can I read you a little quotation from Albert Einstein, who many times showed a great respect for religion and was one of the great admirers of Pope Pius XII for his stand against the Holocaust during the Second World War. Einstein wrote, "The fairest thing we can experience is the mysterious, is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of all true art and science. A knowledge of the existence of something we can't penetrate, of the manifestations of the profoundest reason and the most radiant beauty, which are only accessible to our minds in the most elementary form. It is this knowledge and this emotion that constitute the truly religious attitude." Oh my, so beautifully said.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Why should we do no work on the Sabbath as the third commandment demands? The Catholic Catechism reminds us that in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them. On the seventh day he rested, thereby blessing and hallowing the Sabbath. The Sabbath is also a memorial of Israel's liberation from Egypt. The Sabbath is a sign of God's irrevocable covenant with Israel. Thus, the day is to be set apart as holy and for the praise of God, his work of creation, and his saving action on behalf of Israel. God set a model for human action. If the Almighty Creator could take a day off for rest and refreshment, so should his creatures. For Christians, Sunday replaces Sabbath observance because it is the day Jesus rose from the dead and ushered in the new creation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Always great to get the advice and insight from Father Tampa Holchek, the senior ethicist at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Father, give us your website, because you're available for amazing presentations and also, of course, your expertise in Catholic bioethics. But where can we find you online?
Yes, so the National Catholic Bioethics Center, it's ncbcenter.org. And I also have my own website, fathertad.com, so people can check out both of those with a lot of resources on both of them.
Yes. Yes, and the word father is spelled out, just so folks know. So fathertad.com, it's a really great website, too. All right, another avenue, and I know we were talking about some other things right before the break, but I wanted to bring this up as well because we're limited in time. And this is what just kills me here, pun intended, right, okay? Because they always say, oh, we're going to make sure there's no pressuring or coercion. Give me a break. They say that about abortion. Do they ever follow up with that? No. We're going to make sure that women aren't pressured or coerced into abortion. Seriously? No, that doesn't happen. We haven't here in Michigan. It's been a huge problem where they don't even follow the law. And then, of course, with Proposal 3, that was wiped out. But anyway, I digress. So this story that I was reading regarding the death push in Great Britain, Father, says, under the proposals, two doctors and a high court judge would need to verify the person had made the decision voluntarily. Pressuring or coercing someone into ending their life will be punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Oh, give me a break. That is not going to happen. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think these commissions and review boards and so on, they quickly become rubber stamping entities.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. It becomes, once you've done it a few times, you get used to it, your conscience, you know, is no longer really at work in a serious manner, and these things just fly off your desk in terms of approvals. So I don't think that's realistic. You know, the other thing here that's interesting to me is that we talk about death with dignity, right? I mean, that's the phrase that was used all over.
Oh, please. Kevorkian used that all the time. And you know what he called death with dignity? Taking a body and dumping it in the woods somewhere, or dumping it off at the coroner's office in some Volkswagen or van that he had. It was not dignity. It was not dignified. Trust me, I've seen it too many times. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. And I think also the other piece here about dignity, there's a big mistake that people make, which is that suffering makes my life lose dignity.
Right.
And I think, you know, the Pope has pushed back on this. He had a document called Infinite Dignity that he came out with recently. And he says, look, this suffering does not cause the sick to lose their dignity. They still have dignity, which is something intrinsic to being a human being. Rather, that suffering can become a chance, you know, an opportunity to strengthen the bonds with other people around them as we care for people. And that's the key, you know, as Christians, we want to care until the end. We want to give good support to people. Yes, pain remediation when necessary.
Yes.
But be present. Don't abandon people. This is a form of abandonment when you talk about euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide. You're saying, hey, your dignity, you no longer have dignity that merits for you to continue, and I'm going to offer you an overdose here.
But Father, I also think that the psychology of this, it plays on people, because people start thinking about it in such general terms that oh, it's fine, and if something is even minorly wrong with me, then I'm encouraged to end my life, and that's okay. I was telling you about the most bizarre conversation that Deacon Dominic and I had last year. We were on the Good News Cruise, and before dinner we went up and we're having just a little private time together and having a little cocktail in the bar, and there was a very nice woman sitting across from us, and we started talking, and she's a, you know, full-time cruiser. She's retired, cruises all the time and loves travel. And she was from Canada. And I said, oh, well, we're from Michigan, right across the river is, you know, Ontario and beautiful town of Windsor. I'm having this nice conversation. Then all of a sudden it switches. And she says, yeah, she says, when I get too old to travel, and if I start not feeling too well, I am so glad that in Canada they have assisted suicide, so I can just have my son, you know, just take my life, or I can encourage him to use this measure, so therefore I don't have to burden him. And we're like, what? I was like, talk about a turn of conversation. We're having a drink, chin-chin, and then she's talking about ending her own life. And we did give a little bit of a, you know, of a summary of our teaching in the Catholic Church and saying, you know, you're worth more than that. You know, I'm sure your son doesn't want to do that. Please consider this. And then some other people came up. But think about that, Father. We're having a cocktail, sitting out looking over in the Caribbean, and she brings up, oh, I'm going to have myself, you know, euthanized if I get to the point where, you know, I'm going to be a burden to my son.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story, truly. And, you know, it's also a reminder how you have to rely on cliche and euphemism, because, you know, for her to say those kinds of things, it's this notion of compassion, right? Oh, you know, my son will show compassion to me. And the compassion, the word, it's an interesting word. It actually means to suffer with the ones that we love.
Mm.
Compassionem. And I think we lose sight of that. We instead turn it, we corrupt the meaning of real compassion and say, you know, in the name of compassion, I'm going to, you know, as a son, knock off my mother here and fail in every duty, really, that we have in terms of the duties of love towards family members. So, you know, I'm also reminded in terms of this whole notion of euphemism and sort of corrupting the meaning of things, because this is always part of the euthanasia press and pressure. In Germany, when they started to do the gassing of people, you know,
uh-huh,
what the name of the organization was that oversaw this in Berlin? It was the Charitable Foundation for Curative and Institutional Care.
Sure, yeah.
And I thought, wow, there you have it. You know, this kind of euphemism and calling it care. Euthanasia is never care, but you just sort of twist the words a little bit, throw in some compassion, some emotion.
Well, how about gender-affirming care, Father? That's another life issue. We don't have time to get into that today, but it's a language. They use the gender-affirming care. That's what they call it.
Precisely. So there's always this verbal engineering that precedes social engineering. And we've got to be on the lookout for it and watching for those turns of phrase that then become, you know, very dangerous in terms of legislation and subsequent choices of the society.
So what can we do, Father? I know the church in England has spoken out about this, both Catholic and the high Anglican churches are speaking out. But what else can we do as faithful Catholics to stand up against this push for the culture of death?
Well, I think we need to be sure that we keep the dialogue moving in our own country, and not just the dialogue, but really the teaching voice of the church on this. So, you know, when something is offered in your parish where maybe a speaker's coming in on the, you know, be sure to turn out. These are important things to discuss with friends and neighbors and family, you know, not to allow this to kind of just percolate under the surface because nobody wants to bring it up. I think these are things that can just slide in sideways if we're not attentive. So certainly the church's views on these matters are so clear, so well articulated, and it also makes sense to, you know, do a little bit of reading of some of the church documents
yes.
on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Catholics forget about, you know, Evangelium Vitae from Pope John Paul II, and also the one I mentioned earlier from Pope Francis, the one called Infinite
yes.
Dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Nice section,
mm-hmm.
you know, against euthanasia in there.
Yeah. Father, thank you so much. You're always so insightful and you're always so calm, which is nice to have you on because I'm not. I get very emotional and passionate about this. And I think I'm very sensitive to it because coming from Michigan, I cover it, unfortunately. I think it actually was a good experience for me because I saw how abused this was, Jack of Orkian, for so many years. If I had a penny for every time the coroner told me as a reporter that the person was not dying or the person, even if they were dying, could have lived for a long time with proper care and without pain, I could retire now. Anyway, Father, thank you so much. FatherTad.com is his website. Great information. He's a great speaker. Think about bringing him to your parish. Matt Maher and Sarah Kroger, I'm so excited. They're on hold. We're going to talk to them next. Stay tuned.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, like more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
It's past the hour. What an honor to have both Sarah Kroger and Matt Maher on with us, two amazing Catholic singers, songwriters, incredibly talented vocalists who give all their talents, which are many, to the Lord. I had the opportunity to hear Sarah in person last year on the cruise, and she did a phenomenal job and worked so hard. GoodNewsCruise.com. She'll be with us again in 2026. And then Matt Maher is going to be joining us. And folks, go to GoodNewsCruise.com. I mean, the lineup is crazy, crazy good. So many amazing speakers, many of whom are with us on the network, including Dr. Ray Guarendi and, oh my gosh, Father Leo and so many other wonderful folks. So Matt and Sarah, thanks for joining me this morning. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Happy to be here.
Well, Sarah, let me go to you first, because I know this. You had your first experience with the Good News Cruise back in January. What was it like for you as a musician, Catholic musician, to take part?
Oh, it was so beautiful. Honestly, it was, first of all, it was such an amazing time of year to be on a cruise, because in the middle of January, when everyone else is in the dead of winter, it was the perfect time of year to be on a cruise together. But honestly, just the whole experience, the vibe of the group that was there, it was just so peaceful and just sweet and loving. And yeah, it was just like a really great community building kind of experience. And just to be on a cruise ship full of people who have similar values and are looking to, you know, get the same things out of life. It was really awesome. It was a really awesome experience.
Well, we're so glad you're going to be joining us again. And Matt, I don't know if you've, I mean, I know you're an experienced performer and vocalist, but have you ever done a Catholic cruise or anything like this before?
I've been on a couple of cruises. I can't say I've been on a cruise that was predominantly all Catholic, so I'm looking forward to it. I was like, because one of my favorite things about touring, as somebody who's spent a lot of time touring with Christians from different denominations, backgrounds, you know, and honestly, even having a band that has predominantly not been Catholic, the thing that's always blown them away is how much Catholics know how to have a good time, and just their sense of hospitality and their sense of celebration. So it's like, so many times, you know, like if I do a concert at a parish or at a Catholic conference, like a Focus conference, some of my band's with me, they're always like, man, Catholics really know how to have a great time. That's one of the things that they always say, is just that, you know, and I think it does really come, it stems from our faith. And, this will be a first, and definitely looking forward to it.
We're joined by Matt Maher and Sarah Kroeger. Of course, they don't need any introduction. Extremely talented and gifted musicians, singers, songwriters are both phenomenal. And this cruise in 2026, guys, is going to be a little bit different, because it is going to be open. In addition to having tracks for married couples, we're also going to be doing some general content. So anyone 21 and up is welcome to come. So this is really cool. You've got the marriage track, and you're going to have a whole other area of speeches and presentations that are going to be dedicated to different aspects of the faith. So that's what's going to be really cool about it. Goodnewscruise.com, and we're going to get a whole ship. This is going to be so much fun. And Matt, I wanted to pick up on what you said, and Sarah, you can weigh in as well. It's interesting you mentioned that, because the impression, unfortunately, out there, and maybe we need to do a good job, better job of expressing how much joy we have, but automatically sometimes people will think that because we are faithful, you know, we're frumpy and we don't have a good time, or as my father used to say, we have the funja face or the mushroom face, and that's just simply not true. The laughter on the ship and just the joy of just being together with like-minded people, it's pretty phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, I think you could attest to that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could attest to the fact that we had about 5 cocktail hours together, for example, which was just so fun. It was just such a great experience to be able to gather and have a drink with one another. And I think there was a dance floor that was open at one point. I mean, it was just, honestly, it was the best time. It was so beautiful and just a good old-fashioned fun, truly.
So, Matt, what are you looking forward to most? Go ahead, jump in.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, I think I would just say, too, I think it's because in some sense that, like, because the life of the church celebrates both feasting and fasting, that they're interdependent. You really can't have one without the other. It's like you really don't know how to truly feast and celebrate unless you've experienced fasting. I mean, I think it's that cycle of life, you know what I mean? That in some ways that it, in our human condition, it's part of who we are, and grace works in it all and helps us experience the depth of it all. So, you know, to me, it's sort of indicative of that. What were you going to say? Sorry, Teresa, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just saying, no, that's fine. I appreciate your input. I was just wondering what you were looking forward to most, because this is different than previous cruises. And Sarah was on the one earlier this year, which was phenomenal. But we have, and the one next year is already sold out for 2025. But in 2026, we have the entire ship. So it's going to be a little bit different. I was just wondering what you were looking forward to the most.
Wow. I mean, I think probably... I've never participated in a holy mass on a cruise ship before. So that you know, we could all, you know, that, I'm not sure if anyone has that on a bucket list, but it's like, I always say there's these things in life that, like, you're like, well, I never would have written this down on my bucket list when I was 10 years old, but it is one of those things that it really does become a really beautiful reminder to how the Lord is with us everywhere that we go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, it's just, it would probably be that ability just to, like, celebrate the life of the church and celebrate the gift of the Eucharist with everyone.
Yeah. And Sarah, I don't know how you feel, but in terms of being on the ocean, to me, that is such a sign of God. When you're out there on the cruise ship, and the cruise ships, as you guys know, they're massive. They're like floating cities. There's these big, sophisticated pieces of technology. How they float, I have no idea. My husband's an engineer. He can tell us more about that. But to me, it's an opportunity when you go outside or you look out the window and you say, oh, how great thou art. And you get this sense of the fact that you're celebrating your faith on the ship and you're on the ocean, and then you realize how good and how big our God is. What do you think, Sarah? Would you agree
with
that?
Amen to that. Yeah, I personally experience God so much in nature, and so, and especially through the ocean. So there's nothing like opening your balcony on the cruise and stepping out into a sunrise or a sunset. And, you know, I think it's... The thing with this cruise is it feels like the most epic retreat experience ever. It's like the most epic retreat center that you could ever go to. You know, everything's taken care of for you. The hospitality is top notch. Your creation, you're surrounded by creation, and it truly is just such a beautiful experience. And I'm also looking forward to the fact that the whole ship is going to be sold out for the Good News Cruise. So we get to experience, you know, Catholic artists and liturgies and adoration, I believe, this year or in 2026, and all these different things, because the whole ship is going to be Good News Cruise, which is really exciting for me to experience that, because I've experienced Mass last year on the cruise, but to experience it across the board, I think is really special, and it's going to be really fun.
Okay, here's something that I really want to do. I think this is really going to be fun. Now, hopefully we can do it without tipping the ship over, but I want to have the largest Catholic conga line. What do you guys think of that? Matt, I'll go to you first. Da, 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 we love Jesus. Da, 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 yay, Mary. Oh, da, 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 da. I think that would be so much fun.
As long as you lead the way. You lead the way.
I will. This year on the cruise of 2025, we're doing T's Dance Party the first night out. So I am all there leading the conga line.
Fine.
But the whole idea of just getting out there and having fun and being faithful and showing the joy of the Lord. Okay, now here's a question for you two. I have to ask you this as incredibly talented musicians. Are you at all, and Matt, I'll go to you first, a little bit intimidated that Bocelli is going to be doing two concerts? Just curious.
No, because I don't sing in Italian, and that is a gift that only the Lord can give. And I am honestly such a fan. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things, like, when you really are around a once in a generation talent. I'm one of the things that I'm still trying to always be in life is a student of life and a student of my craft. Mm. And when you get the opportunity to be around a master, just soak it in, like, just take it all in, soak it up, learn whatever you can. And so I'm just really, really looking forward to being able to, you know, experience such a tremendous gift up close and in an intimate way. You know, I mean, most people, I mean, that's, to me, it's like, if you didn't need a, if you, if you were somehow still searching for a reason as to why you should go on this cruise, the ability to see Andrea Bocelli on the ocean, in this kind of an intimate setting is just is truly once in a lifetime moment.
Yeah, the whole thing is phenomenal. Sarah, your thoughts on Andrea Bocelli joining us?
I mean, I totally agree with Matt. It's not an intimidation thing. It's more of a, I'm just so honored to be in his presence, honestly. I'm just, like, really excited. Like he said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience, and I think it's going to be, it's going to blow us all away, truly. Yeah. So I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Well, I think he's a very nice person. His wife is sweet. His kids are wonderful. We've had the opportunity, John Hale and I from Corporate Travel, we met him and his family. We've met him more than once, but we met him at the when he spoke and also had his concert in Detroit a few years ago. He couldn't have been more gracious. We were behind stage for a little while. He's very, very down to earth, and he's a very faithful man. And I just think, and I'm going to let you guys wrap this up. We have about 3 minutes left, but I just think the whole idea of being together and celebrating life, and there's so many amazing speakers. I mean, we have you guys, and you're phenomenal in your gifts, but we have Father Michael Schmitz, Father John Ricardo. We have amazing bishops that are joining us. Archbishop Aquila and Bishop Coffey is coming. And oh my goodness, let's see, who else do we have? I mean, it's a lineup of, you know, who's who on EWTN. We have Father Leo and Matthew Bunsen and so many other people that are speaking. It is just an opportunity just to be, to come and be fed. And I'm not just talking about the buffets. I'm talking about I'm talking about the spirituality of it. So I'm going to let you guys wrap up. We have about 2 minutes left. So ladies first, Sarah, I'll go to you as to why people should register for the Good News Cruise at goodnewscruise.com for 2026.
Well, it won't be the same without you, truly. I think the Lord, I don't know. I'm really excited for this. I'm really expectant for this cruise. I think it's going to be an incredible experience. And I think that you should be there if you're listening. Truly, I really do. I think it's going to be an amazing time together. I think it's one of those things where you get to kind of pick your own adventure. So if you're listening and you're like, I'm overwhelmed, this feels like too many people speaking and too many concerts happening and just feels like too much, like you get to choose your own adventure on this thing. And it truly is such a beautiful time to just be away with the Lord and be away with your spouse or by yourself or whatever, like whatever it is for you, to choose your own adventure and make sure that you're there in 2026. We can't wait to be there with you.
That's a great way to put it, choose your own adventure, because the itinerary offers so much, but there's content for married couples, there's content for singles, and just general content as well. Matt, you got a minute, my friend. Go ahead. You can take us home.
Wow. You know, St. Faustina, of all the images she could have been shown by Jesus to demonstrate his mercy, he chose the ocean. And so whenever I was raised near water, and whenever I get near the ocean, I'm reminded more and more of the depth of God's mercy. And so it's an invitation to, I mean, truly, like, cruise on the surface of God's mercy. And with a loved one, or with new potential friends that you can meet this side of heaven, and have a truly, not just a great vacation, but a transformational time.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What a great reminder of St. Faustina's message that she heard from the Lord, the ocean of mercy. And you're reminded of that, as you said, Matt and Sarah, when you look out and you see the depth, you see the incredible creativity of our God. All glory to God. Thank you both. And God bless you for taking the time with us this morning on EW10. We know you're both very busy. And I know you're in Chicago, coming to Michigan. We're grateful for that as well. Matt Maher and, of course, Sarah Kroger, two amazing Catholic singer-songwriters, will be joining us along with a whole host of other amazing speakers of the Good News Cruise 2026, which is getting close to selling out. SarahKroger.com and MattMaherMusic.com. Check out their schedules and their amazing music, and what a gift they are to the church. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
Thanks so much for tuning into Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. For the archives, go to AveMariaRadio.net. And don't forget, it's Giving Tuesday. We'd appreciate you praying and thinking about giving to Catholic Radio, one of our affiliates. And, of course, EWTN. Keep us between your gas and electric bills. Greatly appreciate it. Have a great day. God willing, talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.